Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Did you bring your Bibles? Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1, and let's read verses 3 through 5 together, and then we can be seated. But allow me first to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you this day. For this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. And Lord, we're asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. I've entitled this morning's message, Enter the Gates of Heaven. Enter the Gates of Heaven. And the Bible talks about gates. And some of you maybe heard the pearly gates. But there's a gate up in heaven that allows the believers to enter in. And only the believers can enter in. If you're not a believer, I'm praying that you'd become a believer real quickly. Because when Jesus comes back for the church, only those washed in the blood, filled with His Spirit, are going in. Can I get an amen? You can't go in any other way. Jesus says those who would try to come in a different way would be a thief and a robber. You're trying to climb up a whole different other way. So are we there? Let's read this together. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Say that with me. Reserved in heaven for you. May the Lord have a blessing to the hearer and reader of His word. You may be seated. I need your attention up here. Most people don't think much about heaven unless they are facing death. When's the last time you could honestly thought of heaven? Mostly you hear heaven sometimes in a sermon, or maybe even at a funeral service, a celebration of life service, and you'll hear about heaven. But as children of God, we need to be kingdom-minded. Can I get an amen? The Bible now tells us that we are pilgrims passing through, that this place is no longer our home, but God has reserved a place in heaven for you. So, few Christian saints give serious thought to their eternal home, and therefore have no convictions about heaven. Furthermore, saints, they may not know what the Bible says regarding heaven and can't even remember hearing a sermon about it that I just mentioned. This results in confusion and an unbiblical understanding of what awaits believers after this life. How many believe there is an afterlife? Brother Jerry, you were here a couple of weeks ago. Jerry right there was in an automobile accident. He was on his motorcycle. He was thrown off his motorcycle and was in the street unconscious. He saw his body lift, and he saw his body on the floor, and boom, he was translated right into the presence of God. Remember? He testified about that. Heaven's a real place. I hope you know that. It's just not a figment of our imagination. It's just not a cliche. It's a real eternal home. You know, we're here but for a moment. Our dear brother who passed yesterday, Senator McCain, who was battling with brain cancer for maybe the last 3-4 years. I believe he's a believer, according to what I've read. He's right now in his eternal home. Our beloved sister Esther is in her eternal home. Amen. Oh, yes. Yes, she is. I remember the day we baptized her. I remember all the people that came and celebrated her baptism. And God has sealed her faith. Can I get an amen? Yes. Although God has not revealed everything about heaven to us, saints, Scripture provides insights that motivate us to live for our eternal destiny rather than this earthly existence. How many believe that on this earthly existence that God has given us, it's not perfect? How many days do you feel like, oh gosh, do I have to face another day like this? How many of you had moments where like, man, I need to throw in the towel. I need you, God. I want to be with you now. Oh yeah, every one of us, huh? Every one of us. And so, our Father is in heaven. And when Jesus preached the Sermon on the Mount, he said, our Heavenly Father. He was praying to what? His Father. Can I get amen? So I need us to know that our Heavenly Father is there. He's there. And Jesus said, I go and prepare a place for you. Amen. So throughout 2,000 years, when Jesus ascended up into heaven, he's preparing a place for you. I believe it's already all done. And I want to go a little step further. Any of you guys ever been up to Rancho Santa Fe? Oh, you've been there, huh? As a realtor, we were asked to go on a tour. There was 40 realtors. We had to get permission to go into Rancho Santa Fe. And those are $40 million homes. Plus, there was one for $85 million. Just try to comprehend the payment on that. You're looking at about $69,000 a month, depending on what you put down. Listen, these homes have all the amenities, the 80-inch flat screens in the toilet. Oh, yeah. They have horse stables, tennis courts, basketball courts. They got swimming pools that go from the outside into the living room. Listen, some of you live maybe in a 1,500 square foot home. That's the master bedroom's closet. But I'm here to let you know, the place that Jesus went away to prepare for, that over there in that high-end place looks like rubble to what God has prepared for those that love him. So on the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew, throughout the chapters 5, 6, and 7, Jesus often spoke about his Father who is in heaven. Who is in heaven? So let me ask you this. When you lift up your prayers, aren't they supposed to go up? Why do we lift them up? Because they go past this realm, and they go right into the spiritual realm, and then they go to the third heaven. Did you know that there's three types of heaven? The Bible explains. The first heaven is us living underneath the atmosphere. We can't live beyond the atmosphere, or we would have no air to breathe. So anything under this atmosphere is the first heaven. The second heaven is the galaxies, the universe, light years. The Star Trek world, where Hubble telescope can only peer so far, and yet there's billions and billions and billions and billions of solar systems similar to ours throughout the planet. You can't even count them. And then beyond that, which we will never travel to physically, is the third heaven. That's where God lives. I need you to just get the enormity of how big God is. Listen, just from the moon itself, the earth is small. Just imagine if you were in another solar system. You couldn't even see the earth. It wouldn't even be a dot on the screen. So instead of speculating on where heaven is, we can simply say, saints, it's wherever God is. Can I get amen? Listen to this. Look at this scripture right up here. Let your light shine before men that they may see your what? Good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Your Father that's in heaven. That's where our Father is. And guess what? He sees everything that we do at once. So he sees your life, my life, no differently than those that are living in Korea, those that are living in Russia, those that are living all. He sees everyone at the same time. That's how enormous God is. And so our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, he's there right now. The Bible says in the book of Acts that he went away to go prepare a place for us. And then when he comes back, guess who he's coming back for? Okay, only one person said us. So I guess the one that said us, he's coming back for you only. He's coming back for what? Us, the church. Come on. That's right. And you need to have scripture to always back that up. Amen? Listen, if there's someone that wherever you attend and all they do is talk and you don't see no scripture, man, you have to leave the place like, do I believe it or not? He said it was. It's got to line up with the word. Amen? Let's turn to Acts 1 and 10. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, this is Jesus. He rose again. He was seen amongst over 500 people. And then there came a day where he had to ascend back, what? To be with his Father. Look at this. It says, and while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing into heaven? The same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven, so will come in the same like manner as you saw him go into heaven. So when Jesus returns, he's coming from heaven to collect his bride. Listen, you have to understand that in the Jewish wedding, the woman is betrothed. And so she waits patiently for her husband. He goes away to prepare a place for her. And so when he's built the home, when he's ready to receive his bride, then he leaves that new place, he goes to the family, and they have a celebration, they have a wedding feast, and then he takes her right back to the new place. Well, guess what? The feast that God has prepared for the church is basically done now. He's coming back for us real soon. And this is why God has given this message today, for those to really, truly get right with God. Because we are now kingdom citizens. Can I get an amen? By faith. And so this is where Jesus went. And he's coming back for you and I. Can I get an amen? And then we have another scripture to confirm this. Look, in Colossians 3 and 1. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on the things of the earth. The things on the earth will corrupt you. Look at the movies now. Look at the culture. Last week in Chicago, over 70 people were shot. My goodness. Sin is running rampant in our nation. This is why we need leaders to rise up. You know why? Because the pulpits across America are asleep. They won't wake up nobody. They're just looking at how much money can you put in my pocket so I can still roll in my Beamer. But they're not telling the people to wake up. Jesus is soon to return to be kingdom and heaven-minded. He's going to be the soon coming king. Can I get amen? Amen. Set your mind on things above, not on things on earth. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ. We are hidden with him. And why is he taking us away? I got to ask this question. Why is he taking us away? He's hiding us from the indignation that's going to be poured out on this earth. He's taking his bride home and we're going to go to his pavilion. The Bible says, and then he's going to pour out the judgment on this earth that have rejected him, that has mocked him, that has ridiculed, that has crucified believers. Right now in Iraq, there are cities that once glorified God, families torn apart, beheaded 9-year-olds, torn in half in front of their parents to renounce Christ. Where's their rapture? Bible says that we would see tribulation before he comes. And we're seeing it right now. For if you died, your life is hidden now in God. And when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. How many can't wait to appear with him in glory? This is the time to get your life right with him. This is the time now. This is the time now to be the church and not play church. Can I get amen? Look at this scripture here. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. I'm surprised that there's a, you know what baffles me, saints? Maybe two people show up for prayer. And the Bible says that when we gather in prayer, we lift them up to Jesus, and then he starts praying for you. Oh my gosh, he's praying and interceding for us. And yet we can't even roll out and pray. But you know what? I don't want my blessing robbed. I come out in obedience. I don't have to be here. I go pray in my room. We open it up for all of us to come out so we could come together as one. We came out for a picnic. Can we come out for prayer? Can I get amen in the house? Or is this a little too hard? Listen, heaven is a prepared place. It's a prepared place. It's not some foggy place. Or some people think, oh, it's a place where there's a bunch of angels with harps floating around on clouds like marshmallows. It's a place especially prepared for God's children. This is what Jesus said. He said, in my Father's house are many dwelling places. In the King James, it says mansions. Does your Bible say mansions? I'm telling you, it's going to be a place of endless real estate out there that God has prepared for you and I. You think you live in a laid-up pad right now? You're going to be blown away on what God has prepared for you. Blown away. Look at this. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. How many believe Jesus? You better believe him. I'm believing, man, that pad he has for me. Man, I couldn't even, my whole life savings couldn't even come up with the deposit. But he's given it to us by God's grace. We don't deserve it, but he's given it to us regardless. Saints, look what Revelation says. Line by line, precept upon precept. You have to line up scripture with scripture to confirm God's word. Can I get amen? Look at this right up here. Nothing unclean and no one who practices abomination and lying shall ever come into that place. But only those whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life. Heaven's not for everyone. He prepared it for everyone, but not everyone's going to live there. You know why? Because there's some folks that won't repent. They come to church, they say hallelujahs, but they still go out and live like the devil at home. They still can't forgive someone. They still have to get in someone's mug and grill. They're covetous. They want to connive someone. There's people living together, cohabitating together, living in sin. And God says, that's an abomination to me. He says, those who practice abomination and lying is not going to go to this place. How many want to go to heaven? Oh, yeah, we want to go. We sing about it. But will we give up those things that causes someone to be negated? To says, I'm sorry, your name's not written in here. Why? Because you were never serious about your walk. There was no evidence. Listen, when detectives go to a homicide, what are they looking for? They're looking for evidence. Is there evidence in your life that you're walking with him? Is there the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, meekness, kindness, patience. This is a serious, we all want to go to heaven. Listen, our citizenship is in heaven. Saints, the earth is only our temporary home, so we must be careful not to become too attached to the things of this world. Having a right understanding of heaven changes our perspective and priorities in this life, prompting us to lay up treasures in heaven rather than on earth. Listen, I don't care how much you accumulate it. Maybe some of you have a 401k. Some of you have a retirement, which is great. Praise God. But it's only temporal. It's not going to last forever. Even that will run out one day. Can I get amen?
Amen.
But what you do for Christ, there's an old song, what you do for Christ, that's the thing that'll last. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah, I got some word for that. Look at this in Philippians. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body according to the working by which he is able to subdue all things to himself.
Amen.
You know what that means? He's able to deliver you from the guttermost to the uttermost. He's able to detach those things that hold you down. He's able to set you free. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. That's what it means by subduing all your enemies. Everything that hinders your life, he will subdue it if you surrender to him. But you got to give it to him. You got to say, God, I can't do this with my own strength. I can't walk this walk before you without my heart right before you. But when your heart gets right before him, he will subdue it. Our little sister that just testified. You know what? She goes, I can't do this on my own strength. That's why I'm going to trash it all. I don't even want no hint of it no more. And so she did the practical thing. Now here comes God with the supernatural.
Come on.
He just wanted to see, are you willing to give that to me? And she gave it to him. Our sister, she gave it to God. Huh? She goes, you know what? I don't care what the doctor says. I'm giving it to you, Lord. And now she has a clean bill of health. Come on. Somebody got to give God praise and glory. Or do you just clap when something good happens to you? Man, you got to rejoice when others rejoice. And you got to weep when they are weeping too. Therefore, since when Christ returns for us, he's going to transform them into a glorious bodies like his. How many can't wait to have a body like his? Although we don't know exactly what we'll look like, we can be sure that our new heavenly bodies will be far more glorious than the ones we have now. That's right. Look in the mirror right now. Man, I remember when I was 20. Things have changed. Or do you? Some of you still comb it like you still have it? Let me try to get this part right here. Listen. We can deceive ourselves, huh? Oh, man, I'm still that fine young thing. And then, no, man, you don't look like Tom Cruise. You look like Uncle Festus. Okay, I went a little way too back for you, huh? How many can't wait for that new change? Come on. That's right. Two hands went up in the back. Thank you, God. I got two on board. Thank you, Lord. Look at this, saints. The names of those who are saved are recorded in heaven as citizens of his kingdom. God records it. He don't need to post it on Facebook, Instagram. What are the other ones? He don't have to use Twitter. He don't tweet. He proclaims. God proclaims. And he shouts it from heaven, who you are. Listen, the Bible says when one soul repents, the heaven rejoice. The names are those who are saved are recorded in heaven as citizens of his kingdom. Man, saints, when Jesus sent out 70 disciples to heal and proclaim the kingdom of God, this is what they came back saying. They were baffled because they went out laying hands. People were getting healed. And we get that because God gave them authority. But they came back with this peculiar question. Look at this. Even the demons are subject to us in your name. Isn't that something? Even the demons. Did you know that they're also eternal entities? But their end game is going to be in the place that it's tormented forever and forever and forever. That's where these demons are headed. But look at this up here. Look at this. As impressive as the power was, Jesus had to say, yeah, they're subject to your name. Yeah. You could lay hands and watch the sick recover. But Jesus had to take their focus on the earthly realm to show his glory. And we find this right in here. Look at this. Do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are recorded in heaven. Yes, praise God for the healings. Praise God for the deliverances. Praise God that God's blessing your family. Praise God. Some of you need to pray that God will reconcile your spouses back. Can I get amen? We praise God for that. But there's a bigger picture. The bigger picture is your name recorded in heaven. Is it recorded in heaven? Because if it's not recorded in heaven, the angel's going to say, I don't see you on the checklist here. Who are you? You must be an imposter. And we're going to show in a little bit where imposters go. They weren't recorded. So you could do many wonderful things for God. And they're great. We're supposed to. But you got to know that your name's recorded up in there by faith. Can I get amen? Saints, whenever anyone turns from sin and believes in Jesus for salvation, that person's name is forever recorded in heaven. Spiritually, believers are already in heaven. God views us in light of our relationship with his Son, who took our sins upon himself and gave us his perfect record of righteousness. The Bible says we are not walking in our own righteousness no more. It's the righteousness of Christ that has been imputed, imparted to our lives. And now we're walking under that authority, the righteousness of Christ. Because if we stand before God in our own righteousness, the Bible says we're but filthy rags. You know what a filthy rag in the Hebrew is? I bet no one knows that. Who knows it but we just won't speak it out? Oh, yeah, there's two. That's an ugly thing. I'll just be real novice about it. It's a woman's cloth that's thrown away every month. It's in the Hebrew. That's what self-righteousness looks to God. God looks at that like that. Do a search on it. That's what it means in the Hebraic root. Look, saints. Even when we were dead in trespasses. How many remember your BC years? for some of you, it's not too long ago. For me, by the grace of God, it's been 30. He has kept me by the grace of God. For some of you, it's just a few months, maybe a couple of years. But I need you to get a hold of this. Even when we were dead in trespasses, God made us alive together in Christ. By grace you have been saved, and he raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ. You're sitting in a heavenly place right now. The Bible says we've come together in the unity of the faith. So we're being heavenly minded because this is no longer our home. Can I get amen? That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. God's been good to you. He's sure been good to me. I have nothing but praise and adoration for God, what he's done in my life. I can't find one fault in him. You know, there's some people, I'm mad at God. Really? You're mad at God? He's done nothing to you. By the way, all your grumpiness and all your complaining, he's just waiting for your heart to turn back and say, oh God, have mercy. And then here comes mercy and grace. That's right. Because you have to understand this, saints. There's some people that have left our ministry. I'm serious. And they really think this. And they have no scriptural references to back it up. But they believe that if you're a true child of God, that you could just walk away and then he'll cast you in the lake of fire. As an adopted child. I got to ask you this question before we go to the scripture. How many of you have children? What could they do to you that you would just abandon them and no longer speak to them and never have a heart for them? How many can actually do that to your own child? Well, if you don't even have the gall to do that, because that would be reputable, we think God would do that to us. But we don't understand this word right here. Sealed. You need to study this word in the Greek and Hebrew. This is something that no one on earth, not even the gates of hell, can pry open what God has sealed. As a matter of fact, I don't think your arms can go up into heaven and box with God. I think many of our arms are too short to box with God. Can I get an amen? What God has sealed in heaven, the gates of hell cannot prevail. And so as believers, he gives us the insurance. We're not supposed to be walking around, well, I'm in heaven today, but tomorrow, I fell in sin and now I'm going to hell. That's what religion will teach you. But faith in Christ and believing the word, you got to stand on God's word. What does it say right up here? In him, you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. He's coming back to redeem us. The down payment that he placed on your life is the Spirit of God living in you. He has chosen you out of darkness into his marvelous light. He has selected you. You had nothing to do with it. But there, I showed these scriptures to many. Well, what? You're going to defy the scriptures? You're sealed. Man, you have to do a Hebraic and also a Greek search to find out what seal means. Nothing can pry it open. Aren't you so blessed? Nothing can pry open your salvation. Let me just pry it open so I can taint this brother. Because I hate him. You can't. When God makes a choice, it's done. It's a done deal. How many believe it's a done deal? It's a done deal. But there's religions. You know why the religions teach that you can be lost once God seals you? Because they want to put fear on you to control you. It's a fear tactic. I remember the first church I went to, all I hear was, you sin today, you're going to hell. You sin, you're going to hell. You sin, you're going to hell. Man, I used to say, God, when you saved me, you filled me with so much joy. I was so blessed to be transformed from darkness into his marvelous light. And I would hear these condemnation sermons. I go, wait a minute. You just didn't save me from trash to throw me back into the trash. You saved me to be your son. And I'm going to look at you always as Abba Father, who saved me from my wretched life. Hallelujah. You got to walk in that glory. Can I get amen? Walk in that truth. Know that he loves you with an everlasting love. And once he makes his mind up about you, you're sealed. And you know what the evidence is? An ongoing desire to love him, to praise him, to glorify him. A transformed mind. That's the evidence. Although our desires may not be fulfilled in this life, saints, in eternity, all longings will be satisfied. Knowing our heavenly position also increases our desire to live a godly life now, because that is our destiny. If our destiny is heaven, start living godly now. Can I get an amen? Because once we enter heaven, we will be freed from sin completely and absolutely holy. Thank you, God. That's right. Look at this. Heaven is where our treasure is. Sister Gina, where are you at? There you are. You ministered to this young girl. You sowed into her life. That's your treasure in heaven. And the end result is that she has now surrendered her life to Christ. That's what it's all about. We're watching what we're preaching right now being played out right before us. That's what it's all about. Sowing into someone's life and then watching God do the miraculous. You know what? We think that, yes, praise God for all the supernatural healings that God takes place. But get this. It's not the blind seeing. It's not the mute speaking. It's not the cripple walking. It's we who were dead in transgressions and sins that God has raised up. That is the greatest miracle. That is the greatest miracle. When we were dead to sin, living for sin and the devil. And now we have a heart to worship him. Man, only God could do that. Only God could do that. That's why our treasures need to be stored up. Can I get amen? Because Jesus said it. Listen, I'd rather have his rate of return any day. Forget about the stock market. It goes up and then it'll crash. Ask the people that lost their homes in 2009. I remember living in Otay Ranch, Eastlake, all the places up in Temecula. Every other house was a foreclosure. And every other house was a short sale. All those hopes and dreams were shattered just on an economic tumble. That's why God says, man, if that's where your treasure is, you'll be disappointed. So God says this, do not lay up yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay them up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, that's where your heart will also be. So if your heart's passion is to see souls changed, delivered, want to Christ, that is the greatest treasure. Yeah, you could walk, you could work 70 hours a week and not get one jot or tittle from heaven. But when you speak into someone's life and you build up their character, you build up their life, and they're looking at your life that's been changed and transformed, and now you're being a witness for them, you're laying up treasure. Because God's called us out of what? Darkness into his marvelous light. So now walk in it. Walk in it. Look what Peter says about this. Our inheritance and rewards are in heaven. How many believe our inheritance and rewards are in heaven? We're just reading it, right? They're in heaven. But how many of you ever been persecuted? How many of you, now that you become Christians, some people look at you like, who do you think you are? I know you. I know you. I remember you were smoking and chewing and hanging out with those that were doing. Who do you think you are now? Forget about them. You just live your life before God. He will take care of them. He'll save them eventually, hopefully. We don't know their destiny, but we know ours. We're heaven bound now with the hell to shine. Look at this, saints. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of what? Heaven. How many want to live in heaven? So what if they talk about you? You know, you hear that old saying, man, you can talk all you want, but don't talk about my mama. It don't matter. Heaven is where we're headed. Can I get amen? Amen. Heaven is where we're headed. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you. They say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Oh man, that has happened to me several times. And you know what? I just kept my mouth shut. And God took care of it for me. He will subdue your enemies. Don't even say a word. Because no matter what you say, they're not going to. God will subdue. Let them persecute you. Let them say all manner of false accusation against you. And watch God come in and defend you in his time. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that does not fade away. Man, our new life is eternal. Our new life in Christ and in heaven will never fade away. That's right. I can't wait for that new body. I think that new body is going to have some hair on it. Maybe 60 pounds lighter. I don't know. Look at this. To an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Is somebody getting something out of this message? Amen. It's reserved for you. God's reserved it for you. You ever gone to maybe a play or a movie? I'm getting a little late here, and all of a sudden you walk in, and all the seats are gone. And then all that's left is the front row. And the. And then the next show don't start till 10:15. And you thought you got there early. And you're like this now. Listen. God has reserved your seat. And we're going to have the best seats. And we're going to have the only seat that matters. Can I get an amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Who are kept by the power of God through faith. It's not about the do's and don'ts. It's about walking in faith. Look at this. Who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. God's revealing it now. That's why God's doing a mighty work in your hearts right now, because he's about to reveal his glory to us. This is the culmination of 2,000 years. He's about ready now to reveal. And guess what? The majority of the church, every day, Lord, could it be today? We're going to go home to be with you. How many believe that you're betrothed? You know what that means? He selected you. We are the bride, and he is the bridegroom coming back for his church, washed in the blood of the Lamb. And when we stand before him, we'll be white as snow. It's hard to think that white as snow. Man, I just had a lustful thought yesterday. He looks past that mess. Because in this flesh dwells no good thing. Look at this. Our saved loved ones and friends are there. How many believe our loved ones are there? And guess what? It's going to be a reunion when we get to see them again. How many can't wait to see them again? Come on, they're going to be there. They're going to be behind the gate because the gate's going to open up for you. When a believer dies, he or she will immediately go into the presence of the Lord in heaven. And this is the scripture on this. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. Thank you, God. So as soon as we shut our eyes here on earth, boom, when we open them again, we'll be with him in the presence of the Lord. So I don't care what's going on in your life right now. Rejoice and be glad. Even as after we have to endure the hardships here, it's all going to be well worthwhile when we see him face to face. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen, let me ask you this. How many of you are afraid of flights? Oh, there's one. And there's two. Okay. You're afraid of flights, right? Who else is afraid of flights? Okay, there's three. Okay. God's going to take away that fear. You know why? Because that's how we're going to be with him. We're going to fly in the air. Oh, what are you talking about, Pastor Free? What are you talking about, Willis? This is where God is going to remove the fear of flight. Because there's only one way. We're going to be with him. And we're going to take a flight in the sky. Oh, what are you talking about? I'm talking about the word. I'm not talking about what thus saith Pastor Fee. What I have to say doesn't amount to anything but what the word says. You better take it to the bank. Look at this. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, those who have died already, that have gone on before us. Okay, look at this. Lest you sorrow as others have no hope. I've been to funeral celebrations. They're going, ah, ah, ah. And they have no hope. They have no clue where this person went. They don't have no hope where they're going. I had one here not too long ago. And then, whoa, whoa. And you know that person was walking with Christ because I knew something about that person. I'm not going to say that person's name. But we have hope. Look at this. Sorrow as like others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those in Jesus. Look at this. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Look at this. We who are alive and remain shall be caught up to be with the Lord. The Bible says we're going to be caught up to be with the Lord. How many can't wait to be caught up? Or do you want to just remain down here? Now, man, I love it down here, man. You know what? I'm not done yet. Let's light it up again.
I need another one. Oh, come on, man. That's what the devil tried to do with our sister behind me. And she said, not so. I'm done with that. I threw it away. I don't want that life no more. I want a life living for Christ. Can I get an amen? That's right. They will be resurrected first. That's the first resurrection, the dead in Christ. Now for us, here's our hope right here in verse 17. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. This is where I'm telling you, don't be afraid of flights. Guess what? We're not going to even have seatbelts. The stewardess is not going to come and show you, well, in case we have turbulence, you drop your mask down. Bible says we shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Come on. Okay, so now are you still afraid of flights? Or do you have a paradigm change now? Oh, I'm still a little afraid. He'll take away your fear, trust me. You'll be filled with so much joy you can't even comprehend it. God will fill you with so much joy. Listen, God had me bring this message because just in case he comes for us on this feast, are you ready to meet the Lord? You should be ready every day. Every day is all he's coming today. Can I get amen? Amen. But we just read the archangel will what? Do one of these. It's going to be a big, giant one. And only those that are his are going to be caught up to be with him. Hallelujah. That's right. Listen, you can't go to PSA or United and look for your reservation. It's only reserved for you in heaven. But here's a warning. God always gives a little warning as we close. Not everyone's going to go to heaven. Not everyone's going to say, yeah, man, you know, I did this and that. You know, I served a little bit. Look at Revelations here. Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and the books were opened. There's books in heaven. We talked about, is your name written in the books, Lamb of God? Because then that seals you. But look at this. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to the works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades, that means death and hell, was cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire too. Oh, it's great to talk about heaven, huh? Man, but can you handle hell? It's not an allegory. It's a real literal place. And if you were here Wednesday, we talked about Abraham and the rich man and the poor man, huh? Didn't we? Oh, that's right. It was just me in here that night. Look at this, saints. Revelation will always confirm. You know why churches don't read Revelation? Ask me. Ask yourself this. How many churches have you visited, or maybe churches you come from? They won't talk about Revelation. They never talk about. Why? Yeah, man. I'm not going to talk about this. there'll be people that'll leave my church. Let them leave. And if this brings fear to you, don't come back. But I'll tell you what, God's voice will be ringing in your mind 24/7, and he's going to bring you to a place of repentance because he don't want to see nobody perish. He don't. Because this is what's going to happen for those who just say, this is not for me. I tried this Christian thing. I love my alcohol. I love my drugs. I love my pornography. I love all that. Well, look what happens here. But cowards who turn back from following me, and those who are unfaithful to me, and the corrupt, and the murderers, and the immoral. You know what immoral means? Any kind of sexual sin that doesn't line up with the Word of God. Shacking and packing. Cohabitating. Males with males and females with females. That is an abomination to God. And those conversing with demons, there's people that are doing Ouija cards and all this. There's even some churches that are doing, they're meeting and they have these cards. My goodness. And idol worship, all liars, their doom is in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur. This is the second death. We all want to hear about heaven. And many of us are going there. But this is the place. This is the wannabes. This is the name tag people. I'm brother and sister so-and-so. Praise the Lord. And go home as if they don't even know God. They still living a lie. Never been born again. Never come out. They never come out from among them. They were lying to their spouses. They were lying to their children. They were lying to their pastors. They were lying to community. They were lying to everybody. And the end result is being cast into the lake of fire. There'll be some of you next week. I won't see you here no more. That's okay. You know why? My seat is reserved in heaven. Huh? You know that old word? You know, we used to talk like that. Make me none. Oh, you don't remember that one? And then some of you are saying, man, this man up here, he's talking out the side of his neck. You can think all you want about me. My seat is reserved in heaven. And guess what? Your seat is reserved in heaven. Can I get an amen? Amen. Come on. This is for the folks, man, that just won't get right. That's okay. That's right. This is not a political thing. Yeah, we know that in the political world, there's right and there's left. No, you either get right with God or you get left behind. There's no in between. I'm sorry, you cannot pay to get out of purgatory because there's no purgatory. Find it. If you find purgatory in the Word of God, I'll sign over my house right now. You won't find a pope, a nun, or a cardinal in that book. If you do find it, show me. But saints, I close with these questions. Number one, have you ever seriously thought about heaven since this message? Did you think about heaven when you woke up this morning? Did you think about heaven yesterday? How about last week? Look at number two. More importantly, are you confident that you will go there when you die? Are you confident that you will go there when you die? I just pointed out scriptures that gives us the confidence. It's our hope in Christ. He alone. Can I get amen? Amen. What did Jesus mean when he claimed to be the only way? In John 14:6, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father but through who? Me, Jesus. No one can come. I'm sorry. Confucius, Allah, Muhammad, all these people. Guess what? Their bones are still in the grave. Jesus is the only one that rose again. Can I get an amen? He rose for you and for me. This is why we can rejoice. Hallelujah. That's what separates Jesus and us believers from anybody in this world. Because everything else is just religious. But we have a relationship with him. Can I get an amen? Look at this. How has this sermon changed your perspective of heaven? Well, one thing that has changed, hopefully you're not in fear of flights anymore. Because that's how we're going to go. Boom. We're going up. Unless you want to go down, that's on you. Oh, I'm going up. Can I get an amen? I'm going up. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. How will it affect the way you live now? If heaven is the end game, what do you do about your life now? God's given us a choice, huh? Get right with him. Repent. Give it all to God. He will do the miraculous in your life. We're going to have a beautiful baptism. And God's going to do something radical with this young. I believe she's going to bring in all these friends that plagued her life. And God's going to transform them and change them. Amen. You know why? They're going to call her, hey, you know what? You still want to go do that, man? No. I want to take you where I get a greater high. You got to try this high. Because I'm high now on the Most High. I'm high on the Most High God. You got to try him. When I first got saved, I had no way to explain it. I had to use that terminology because I didn't know the Christianese. I would just say, man, this is something, man, I can't explain. I just know, man, I'm so high, I'm so lit up. I go, crystal ain't got nothing on it. Weed don't got nothing on it. Drink. All this, man, even sleeping in and out of bedrooms don't have anything on it. And by the grace of God, I would just share, man, this joy. And one by one, they started coming to church. That's what it's all about. Letting them know that Jesus is alive and well. What changes are you going to make as a result of your greater understanding of heaven? For those of you that got notes, they're right there for you. And you could also go to the website, download my PowerPoint, download my Word doc, and download the MP3 version so that you can repeatedly hear the word and share it with others. Can I get an amen? Amen. And so let's pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you for your goodness and grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your loving kindness. I thank you for the saints of God that have come out this day, who has pressed this day, oh God. Hallelujah, Lord, to hear your word. And Lord, I'm praying for those right now, Lord, that maybe there's a disconnect. Maybe they didn't understand the significance of the position we now have in Christ, where we are now reserved in heavenly places. And it was you and you alone that has done this for us. But maybe, just maybe, you're here and you're saying, you know what? God, just forgive me. Give me the right perspective. Allow me to come humbly yet boldly to the throne room of grace. And that's where I can find my mercy. That's where I can find grace. And that's through Christ alone. If that's you here, come to the altar. Don't worry. No one has to know anything that's going on in your life because God already knows it. You just go to the altar and say, God, I lay my life here. I surrender all. Mold me and shape me to the person that you want me to be. And I let go And I let God, that you would be my all in all, that you would be the lover of my soul. And if you're here today, listening to this message, God right now is moving mightily in your heart. And he's moving in your heart because he loves you. And he doesn't want you to fear him. He's our daddy. He's Abba Father. And if you're here today or listening to this message and you've never surrendered, pray this simple prayer. The prayer don't save you. It's your faith in Jesus that saves you. Prayer is just a tool that God has given mankind here on earth to communicate with the holy God in heaven. Because he's up there and he hears every word we say. So if that's you, pray this simple prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you, God, for my life. I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in my life. Lord Jesus, I ask you, God, to forgive me for every sin. I believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me. And the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, let's give him a shout of praise. Hallelujah. Is he worthy? Is he worthy? Come on, is Jesus worthy? Man, aren't you so blessed you are heaven bound? Come on, come on, come on.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.